Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for today's Camp Notes from July 23rd, 2024. So we are now in the third day of training camp. It's been exciting so far. Lots of things happening and playing multiple fields of 11 on 11. Hot weather today. A little bit shorter than normal practice, but now we're almost up to the full length of practice in this ramp-up period they go through in the first few days. So it's still two fields of 11 on 11 for most of practice, I would say. The big news again, Lamar Jackson out due to sickness for the third straight day. So he's missed all 3 days of camp. Josh Johnson, again, most of the reps. Leary and Emery also getting reps. And with two fields, the Ravens are really short on camp arms right now. They'd like to, if they're running two fields, they'd certainly like to have four quarterbacks doing it. But they don't have that right now. And so, Emory Jones is getting a fair amount of play right now. And that's probably a good deal for him in terms of being ready to play somewhere. The passing offense continued to struggle, largely a function of missing Lamar Jackson, of course. I think we got one interesting thing that I had not expected to see or did not know we would see for the first time was the first look at the setup for the new kickoff rule. We didn't get much now, mind you, but we did get to see kickoffs made under that setup, line up at the 40-yard line, have to wait for the player to catch the football before anybody can take off. And is an interesting setup, and we saw players getting ready to block, as all we saw today, and I'm sure they'll build that up into more elements of what you're supposed to do in that drill. I'm sure we'll see a lot of it as camp goes on. In addition to Jackson, we had some other absentees. Keith Mitchell and TJ Tampa are still both on the pup list. Lamar's, of course, we already talked about. Adisa Isaac, NFI list with a hamstring. And Vandy Rigby, we don't know what the injury is, but he's missed three straight days of practice. So injury, illness, whatever the case is, he's a guy who's a fairly sizable inside linebacker, could have a spot on this team if he could play a good amount of special teams. And even if he doesn't maybe make the team, could be the top guy for elevations off the practice squad, which is a big thing you want, you know, if you're in his position and trying to catch on in the fringe of the NFL. So days missed at camp like this are golden opportunities lost. So it's very unfortunate. One injury in practice today that I noted, there was an ankle that got taped up, and I think that was just a precautionary thing, maybe a slippage of some tape. But Ben Cleveland limped to the sideline at one point. He did return later on. So, so far, you know, knock on wood, through 3 days, we haven't seen anybody hurt in any kind of way that's forced missing of time. There haven't been any of those hamstring pulls or other soft tissue problems that come up a lot in camp and cause people to miss time. So good start to camp from that perspective. Few new drills we saw today. Now, I always love to talk about the various drills, and sometimes I've maybe seen them once before or not at all, but these ones were all a little bit weird. So the first one was, I'm sure this is a Chuck Smith special. The defensive guys shadow boxed under a trampoline. Okay, so what do they do? The trampoline is probably set at a height of about 6 feet, maybe 5'10", probably it's right around 6 feet. So most of the players would hit their head on it. So they have to duck underneath it. And then they're asked to shadow box. And basically they had to go through the process of throwing right, right, left hook, then left, left, right hook, and then come out from under the trampoline and hit a pad there, whether it's a pad human, a padded, target of some other sort. But any case, what was interesting about this is the amount of disadvantage the tall players had at doing this. So you watch a player like Tavius Robinson, he has a lot of trouble bending underneath that the height that the, I'll call the trampoline, but whatever it is, the plastic covering is set at. Brent Urban, a lot of trouble, you know, getting low underneath that. What you also notice is it's not necessarily the guys you would expect who have a very obvious kind of a, I don't know if boxing talent, but they've got some experience with it. So Malik Ham, for example, really looks like he might have either boxed before or at least has kind of been taught the notion of throwing consecutive rights to set up a left hook kind of thing. He looked like he'd done it before. Michael Pierce did not look like he'd done it before. So, you know, it's not always the guy you expect. Michael Pierce, certainly a good violent hand fighter as a pass rusher. So I'm not putting him down in that way at all. It just was a little strange that you see that. So it's an interesting drill and something different that I hadn't seen them do before. They had an ingenious device I'd never seen before. And I was talking to some of the other reporters and they seemed to think they had seen it before, but that's okay. This is the first time I've reported on it. It's basically is this, it promotes staying in your lane on punt or kick returns. I presume it could be used for either, but it's a device at one end that has kind of a winch that you wind the ropes back into, but the ropes can then be attached back at the point of the kickoff or the point of the kick if it's a punt too, and pulled back to a degree such there's six ropes that start in a fan back at the line of scrimmage or the line of the kick and go to a single point further down, which presumably would be the point where the ball carrier is catching the ball. And then if you have your individual kick coverage player or punt coverage players following down inside those yellow roped off areas, then presumably they're staying in their lane to a good degree. And I thought that was very interesting to watch. It's just something that ingenious device, really, really cleverly done. It looked like it might have been not something the Ravens just made themselves, but they could have. It may be something that's generally available to football teams, and they may sell it for use in high school or whatnot. Send me a DM or send me or make a comment in the relative to the promo for the pod if you think you've seen that in use before other places. But it's first time that I can remember seeing it anyway, and I thought that was kind of neat. They have a what I would say is a new tackling cylinder. I'm sure it's not new, but it's just the first time I've really noticed it. For the defensive backs, they did an interesting little drill where they grab on to a cylinder and drive through it, which has pretty good handholds on it. So it has four vertical handholds that go up the side of the cylinder that look like they're also made probably of a soft rubbery foam substance, but they have a chance to hold on to it. And the defensive back is encouraged to not only, you know, work through directly through the middle of the pad, take that to the ground, but then also to scramble with his feet to push that back. So after a play, you know, you want to make sure you don't give up yards before the ball is spotted by the official ball carry who might be doing the same thing. But interesting drill. I hadn't seen it before. Looked pretty good and looked pretty interesting to see these guys scrambling while staying on top of the tackle and also pushing this thing forward. Nothing complicated in terms of the equipment, but they did a little tip drill and the defensive backs were playing against each other. And you have a difference in height of an inch. It's not a big deal. And the vertical leap will often make a big difference in both in terms of how high the player can leap and how well he times his leap to get off and get to the top. But the last rep of the day was Ardarius Washington, who's 5'9 or 5'8 versus Kyle Hamilton, who's 6'4. And that was just a simple, brutal, unfair massacre. And that was not a case where I think that Washington had a particularly good chance to win that rep. But it was kind of fun watching those drills. I mentioned that we've seen multiple internal offensive linemen get a shot to snap the football. And that continued on this day. Again, a function perhaps of a pair of 11-on-11 fields. Did ask Harbaugh the question during interviews. He said, yeah, a function of 11-on-11, but also you want to try and get through a game if there are two injuries at center. So, you know, it's a bad place to be to not have a center after two injuries. And he's 100% right about that. Maybe even not be training your next guy for the next week if you need him. But anyway, they did a pretty good job of that in terms of spreading that around. The other thing that John said I thought that was very smart was he didn't like giving up the reps and I'm paraphrasing this, he didn't like giving up the reps to the starting, you know, couple of centers, to Samak and Linderbaum, but he thought it was worth it, you know, for insurance purposes. So if you want to hear what he actually said, by the way, in response to that question, go listen to it. It's in the interviews that are up on the Ravens website, but kind of an interesting topic, I thought, since we've seen a lot of that the first 3 days of camp. All right, let's move on. Talk a little bit about the offensive combination of winners and losers on this side of the ball. I'm going to go through in no particular order. These are kind of, I took the numbers down and wrote notes about them, and then they aggregated the notes by player. But Charlie Kolar, the only thing I have for him is he had to run a lap for a false start. He's the third player and the fourth lap run. Josh Jones has run two of them so far in this camp. But that really set the defense hooting and howling to force an offensive player to have to run a lap. So it's not just that you got the defense, the offense to jump off, to jump. You get a lap out of it as a little ice cream cone favor for it. Anyway, Patrick Ricard had a nice lead block on a run left by Derrick Henry that I wanted to mention. We haven't seen too much of Patrick Ricard specifically working out of the fullback spot, but I mean, there's been some, but just, I haven't noticed it dominating practice. And I've probably seen Ricard more in line. And again, it's not, I don't want to give anything away. I don't think there's anything special, but you know, the Ravens have been doing a lot of what they're doing without a fullback. And I'm sure we'll see during the regular season exactly how they'll let that play out. All right, excuse me. Moving on, Rashad Bateman caught a ball that appeared to be tipped by Marlon Humphrey early in the practice. It was about a 25-yard pass down the sideline. He had another play where he exploded out of a short catch for what appeared to be a very big yak play. And hopefully that'll be something we see from Rashad Bateman this year, is some opportunity to use his yak on well-timed throws that hit him in stride. This wasn't even that. It was just a short, basically dump off pass. And he made the play after it. And, you know, some of it is probably due to players not coming downhill as fast as they might otherwise, but nice to see Rashad taking the play seriously and making something out of it. I thought Justice Hill ran the ball very well. One play, he had a burst through a big hole in the middle. Another, he outran the defense to the right. So, you know, showing good use of that speed he's got, and that led to the career year last year with a fair number of yards from scrimmage, his best year as a receiver, and his best year as a runner. So it definitely a positive to see that, you know, basically still at a high level. I think he's probably going to get the second most carries on this team, I'd say. I think that Ali is still a little ways away. Owen Wright has looked okay in camp. Maybe we'll talk about him a little later. Tight end Scotty Washington had a nice day. Had a 15-yard catch on a crossing route. He's wide open. That was in the middle of the field. He actually reached back for the football, made a nice grab. So I thought that was a positive. And then he was actually playing on the field with the twos. So there's a number of players, and among those are like Tez Walker, who I didn't get to see that much in this game because they're playing on that second field of 11 on 11s. And I did happen to look over there as the crowd's going wild, and Scotty Washington catches the ball deep down the sideline. It just appeared to be a big play. The crowd certainly appreciated. Josh Jones has had a tough camp so far. So he had a couple of false start penalties where he ran two of the four laps. In this practice, he got knocked down. He's playing right tackle. He got knocked down by Tavius Robinson on a play. Jones has played a little bit everywhere, so it's, I don't want to, you know, talk about all the positions he's played or anything, but Tavius Washington knocked him to the ground. That didn't look so good. I looked over to the two field again when I heard a bunch of cheers, and Tez Walker was...
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Was the recipient as he made a long grab on a deep cross, had to go to the ground to get the ball, looked like a fairly athletic catch, and definitely one where we'll probably draw some review on film that's positive from that. I mentioned Owen Wright did some good running, included some patience to follow, a really nice block from Daniel Faalele, who opened a big hole on a run to the middle. Wright was he caught a couple balls. He ran the ball several times. He's been involved. I mean, he hasn't been a guy who's seen really limited reps as you sometimes have happen at the bottom of the running back chart. The guy I more associate that with is Collier, number 38. He might've been playing a fair amount on the number two field, but I didn't see him at all on the number one field. So, maybe we'll see more of him during the games in the second half. Zay Flowers was targeted often in the practice. One of his interesting throws was kind of a desperation throw into space that probably should have been called as a sack for Owe. Unfortunately, the play it reminds me of is that 4th and 9 in the 2018 game the Ravens lost at Kansas City when Mahomes threw up a ball like that and Tyreek Hill went and got it. So we'll be happy if Flowers turns into Tyreek Hill, but I do not enjoy memories of that game again where the Ravens ended up surrendering a tie in regulation on a touchdown drive from Mahomes there and then losing the game in overtime. But anyway, we're long past that particular Chiefs loss, and we can think about more recent ones. Andrew Vorhees, fine lead block on a run left by Henry. We've seen, I think, generally good things. He's getting about as much playing time as anybody, I would say, on the offensive line, and that's good to see. The Ravens are clearly committed towards getting him in there. There was a question about, Andrew Vorhees in the podium session with Harbaugh, and I thought little more discussion than there had been so far about where he's been playing. So I'll refer you to that in terms of talk about that. But I think he's looked good. He's one of the guys who had a few snaps at center. So we would say that obviously just about every interior lineman had some over these 3-day period. But Voorhees is a guy who it's not apparent that he's really got problems. What is apparent is the defensive line is getting a lot of pressure. And we'll get into that on the defense, that the offensive line as a group is not playing that well overall. The other guy on the offense who really stood out was wide receiver Keith Kirkwood. Now, he had the play of the day, which was a 20-yard TD in the red zone drill where he adjusted well to the ball while being covered by Trayvon Mullen. That's Lamar's cousin. And just a very nice adjustment to make the football, caught the ball and went down, put his own arms up in the air to signal a touchdown. But offense has not had a lot of things to look to celebrate over these 3 days of camp so far, and that was one of them. And always nice to finish off a red zone drill. I'll move over to the defensive side of the ball. Lots of stars there again. Lots of the pass rushers. I won't get into every single one, but Adafe Owe had another fine day. Lots of pressure. He had one sack on a stunt. He had another that probably should have been called where he pulled up on a pressure and then that got thrown up in the middle of the field for a completion. Again, yeah, just looking terrific, really looking the part. I'm super optimistic about his season. Harbaugh was asked about him in the press conference specifically about a talking to he had in this practice. And I didn't notice it happening, but Jameson Hensley asked the question. And he said that, yeah, he had to basically tell him to tone it down a little bit, that he might have been playing too fast for this point in practice, and also not to touch the quarterback. So I don't know if he really touched the quarterback, or maybe he certainly didn't knock the quarterback down, but he might have touched the quarterback on the arm while he's throwing or something that they really don't want to see. So Harbaugh had a little talking with him, and he's obviously very excited about what Owe is doing as a pass rusher. The big defensive star of the day, Owe's great day, was Arthur Maulet. By far the biggest star of the day. He had an interception in coverage of Nelson Aguilar that was about 15 yards down the right sideline, followed that up with a pass defensed in coverage of Flowers by the right sideline. Really ill-advised throw, by the way. And that's something, there's been a lot of off-target throws, but there's been a lot of ill-advised throws as well. And, you know, you get a rep as the number four quarterback and you're Emory Jones, you probably want to throw the football. He also ran the football a few times, which might have been the better choice in this particular case, because his throw was into double coverage and it really shouldn't have happened. But it was just a PD on that play. Maulet finished with yet another PD, 5 yards from the line of scrimmage and between the numbers and left hash. He just missed a pick six on that play, came to the sidelines, did 10 pushups or so. And I'm thinking, boy, that's a guy who's being tough on himself, but Maulet looks to be in the lead to me for the slot corner position. So Ravens, you know, carry two types of slot. They carry Hamilton, who's a big slot that they love to play in that position whenever they get a real opportunity to do it. It's obviously based on opposing personnel groups. If you have 12 personnel, Big Nickel is a perfect situation. You have 21, you probably either go Big Nickel or you maybe go base. If you just 12 is kind of the perfect thing. 13 would be another place where, you know, you might see him as a Big Nickel. But in the regular 11 personnel settings and on down and distance where you really are defending the sticks, much more commonly Arthur Maulet or Darius Washington might be the guy. And Maulet clearly, to me, has the lead at this point in camp on that position. Marlon Humphrey, they've been working hard to get Hamilton a lot of play there. And so players like Humphrey, I don't think has seen too much time in the slot so far. At least I haven't noticed it. And Ardarius Washington has played less in the slot and more elsewhere. I think Ryan Mink wrote a big, I don't think it's a secret anymore that Ryan Mink wrote a big article on Ardarius Washington playing at safety. And that's where he's, I would say, seen most of his time so far in 3 days of camp. So let's move on. Elsewhere in the secondary, Brandon Stevens had a pass defense in coverage of Rashad Bateman. Nice play again by Brandon. Obviously trying not to be too physical with the receiver. Not sure if there's been a talking to there, but did a good job. Just reached back, played the ball. You know, it's been a issue that we've sometimes had with Brandon Stevens is that he doesn't find the ball in the air as well as some cornerbacks, but he did in this case and made a nice play. A couple guys who are close to the line of scrimmage who had good plays. Brent Urban had his second pass defense at the line of scrimmage in three practices. He also had a very nice pocket compression that forced a short throw by Leary. So you like to see that. You like to see a pressure leading to a short throw, what would have been a short gain in an actual game. And Urban looked pretty good there. He definitely does not look like he's too old to be playing this game right now, which is nice. You know, it looks like he's got another year of football left in him, and that's terrific for the Ravens. And you know, he's probably a guy that the Ravens extend another handshake opportunity to, meaning they'll cut him, pull somebody else on the roster, send them to IR as the third IR DTR. You get two free ones now, and then bring Urban back. Definitely, he'd be a candidate to do that, as he has been for I think the last 2 years now. So definitely brings some roster extension value to this team. There are other guys who do that as well, but he's one. After that, Justin Matabike in the red zone drill ended a drive with a pressure to force an incomplete pass. Always nice to see that. I haven't seen too much of Matabike so far in this camp in terms of providing like really consistent pressure. It may be a case of some brother-in-law play on the inside. It may be a case of some double teams. I just haven't noticed it, whereas Owe has been all over the field. And the outside linebackers in general, Kyle Van Noy, Malik Ham, have been pretty good about getting pressures, but I haven't really noticed it from him. David Ajabo, too, has had a couple as well. Malik Ham, last guy I'll talk about, made two nice plays near the end of full speed play. So they play these full speed 11-on-11s, and then I think it might be part of installing new plays into the offense that they've done these plays only on the chalkboard. They're running them for the first time, and they do them at half or even one quarter speed. It's kind of like a walkthrough that you might see the day before a game or on a Friday before a game, that it's just done, you know, at half or a quarter speed. And defenders really make no attempt to intercede. Although it was interesting, Nate Wiggins had his PD for the day on such a play. So it wasn't a full counting PD. Anyway, I that's really it for camp today. We had some good people at the podium. Marlon Humphrey did say one interesting thing, and it related to him playing safety at some point. And you know, I've talked about that a little bit on this show, and the possibility of him playing safety, I think, is basically out the window with the two additional safeties acquired over the past 3 days in Worley and Eddie Jackson. Now the Ravens have a very, very full set of four safeties who can play the back end. They have the versatility given that to play Hamilton in the slot. So I don't think they need Humphrey to fill that kind of a role that might include him playing either slot or deep, depending on how they want to use Hamilton on a play. But he did say something interesting. He said he always saw his career going that way at some point. And they talked a little bit about his weight and whatnot, seemed to have lost a little weight. Hamilton was just I think, joking entirely when he said, yeah, that Kyle Hamilton had a little bit of a gut last year. He's trying to get rid of that paunch and yada, yada. But then he got a little more serious. And he said, yeah, that he did notice he thought he was a little slimmer than last year. So Humphrey said, young man's game. You know, he wanted to stay thin and try to play as fast as he could. So nice to hear that. And I think if he's playing on the outside, he's got less in the way of physical responsibility. Still, you know, relies very much on his physicality, his baseball bat-like arms and whatnot. And he still is a very muscular man in those terms. So it's not like I think that's been lost. He looks to be in great shape and ready to come back and have a big season. It seems to be excited about being healthy. So we did have Nate Wiggins talk to us very briefly. I didn't draw a lot from that, other than he did mention, I asked him a question about using his makeup speed in college was very apparent, and that at the NFL level, I talked to Jonas Schaefer on a show previously, and he mentioned that he thought that he would have a welcome to the NFL moment where he'd get beat and then he might suddenly become more grabby. And it just got reported. The question just got reported as, have you felt the need to get more grabby at the NFL level? Well, that's not really what I asked, but that's okay. So anyway, he said, the good part about his response is that, yeah, he wanted to use his speed, but he wanted to use more than his speed. So he had to learn to do some other things well at the NFL level, use his hands at the line of scrimmage, establish press coverage better and whatnot. So I thought that was a good answer. And he did a good job of talking. Seems to be very confident in terms of what he brings to the table. Talked very respectfully about the other veteran leaders in the group, whether that's Humphrey or Eddie Jackson or Kyle Hamilton. And just, you know, was very positive about things, obviously, coming out of camp today. So anyway, that's it for the camp notes today. Thanks for joining me. Hope you will continue to listen. If you're on looking for podcasts, we have an unbelievable backlog that I'm trying to work through concerns about the season for the Ravens. So if you missed the offensive line concerns, came out earlier today, yesterday. The kind of days are kind of running together, honestly, for me. But it would have been in the morning, and in the evening is generally when these camp notes from the day will be made available. So we're kind of running on a 12-hour cycle right now. Make sure you keep looking, whether you're on filmstudybaltimore.com or you are looking on your podcast platform. And filmstudybaltimore.com, always direct your grandpa to that, or your father. Whoever is not particularly computer savvy but knows how to go to a website a lot better than they know how to download podcasts, that's a great place for them to listen to what we have to say. Thanks again for listening. This is Ken McCusick, and I'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.